This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. The Tristan Chord. Suspended, unresolved, symbolic of yearning, longing, and love unacknowledged, repressed, or about to go horribly wrong. Like the love of the two title characters in Richard Wagner's Tristan and Isolde. It's the opening chord of Tristan, and Arnold Schoenberg called it the beginning of the era of modernism. Wagner was not the first to use it, but in every earlier instance, it led to a resolution, to a satisfying conclusion in a particular tonal center. Wagner's use of it may have been a bold step forward harmonically, but dramatically, it was the only step he could have taken, because it perfectly captures the instability of Tristan and Isolde in their eventually fatal passion. It's been said that the Celtic legend of Tristan and Isolde is not a tragedy of two people who can't get together in love, but the tragedy of lovers who can't stay apart no matter how much they should. In many ways, this is the story of Wagner's own love life at the time he was writing the opera. It was 1857, and Wagner was in deep financial trouble. He had not had an opera produced since Lohengrin 7 years earlier, and he was getting desperate. He had finished his epic Ring cycle, but not surprisingly, was having trouble finding someone who would agree to produce such a monumental artistic undertaking. Fortunately, Wagner could always rely on friends in times of troubles, and the wealthy industrialist Otto Wesendonck and his wife Matilda invited Wagner and his wife Minna to stay with them at their country estate, where Wagner could work uninterrupted on his next project, an adaptation of the story of Tristan and Isolde. Throughout his life, Wagner had a habit of falling in love with other men's wives, and during that summer, something sparked between him and Matilda Wesendonck. There is no hard evidence that Richard and Matilda's relationship ever became physical, though Minna suspected that it had. They separated the following year. But you can feel the heat in Wagner's music from that year, particularly in his four settings of Matilda's poems, his Wesendonck Lieder, and in the hot, surging, passionate music in Tristan and Isolde. Tristan and Isolde is about love repressed and unacknowledged and then fulfilled only through death. It's about a passion so intense that it takes on a spiritual dimension that obliterates everything in its path. The prelude sets up the drama of that unacknowledged love, and those opening phrases, the Tristan chords, return throughout the opera when the love between Tristan and Isolde is at its most intense, and then finally when Tristan dies. In the opera itself, the prelude dies away, and a moment of silence leads into the opera's first scene. In concert, the prelude is usually paired with Isolde's Liebestod, or Love Death, which is the final scene of the opera. If the prelude represents earthbound passion, the Love Death is spiritual transformation. Wagner loved this phrase. He used a variation of it as Brunhilde's leitmotif in the Ring Cycle, and then later as a main theme in his tone poem Siegfried Idyll, which was his musical portrait of family bliss after his marriage to Franz Liszt's daughter Cosima, another woman who'd been married to someone else. At the end of the opera, Tristan dies in Isolde's arms, and she literally wills herself out of existence in order to be with him. Just as in the prelude, the Liebestod rises to a climax as grand as the passions it describes. In the end, Tristan and Isolde also proved to be difficult to produce until the young King Ludwig II of Bavaria stepped in. He was infatuated with Wagner's operas, and some say with Wagner himself, and the money he provided not only paid off Wagner's debts and allowed him to stage Tristan, but it also made the Ring Cycle possible. One passion fueled another and another, and together changed the course of Western music history. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.